Whether you want to escape the snow or plan it, Arias Medical has you covered. Try a rewarding travel assignment during the holiday season with Arias Medical Group. Call Arias at 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's AUREUS medical.com.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Our next guest is the founder and owner of the Movement Performance Institute in Los Angeles. In addition, he is a professor in the Department of Biokinesiology and Physical Therapy and co-director of the Musculoskeletal Biomechanics Laboratory at the University of Southern California. He holds joint appointments in the departments of radiology and orthopedic surgery within the Keck School of Medicine. He received his bachelor's degree in physical education from the University of California, Santa Barbara in 84, master's in PT from Columbia University in 87, and PhD in biokinesiology in 96 from USC. Did his postdoctoral training at the Orthopedic Biomechanics Laboratory at the University of California, Irvine. He's recognized nationally and internationally for his research related to the biomechanical causes of lower extremity injury. More specifically, he's considered one of the world's leading authorities on knee injuries. Welcome to the PT Pintcast, Chris Powers. Chris, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very busy here at CSM, so I appreciate you carving out some time. What's this experience been like? How's San Antonio been for you for the last couple days?
Well, it's been great. I mean, this has been, I think, a record-breaking meeting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Over 12,000 members, and boy, it's the excitement is big.
Yeah, I went to a couple Next conferences before I ever did my first CSM, and I did CSM last year in Anaheim, and it doesn't take long for you to realize this is a different thing. This is a different animal than Next.
Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming.
Yes,
I mean,
that's a good word.
You get paralyzed by the breadth of this meeting and everything that this meeting has to offer.
Try to do, you know, when you get the programming months before you come, when you sign up and you're like, I'm going to do this, you're probably going to do 10% of that. Like, let's be honest to that.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you want to see all those cool things because you see a lot of big names, you see a lot of really interesting topics. It's not going to happen. So if anybody's listening to this, going to another conference, like, be more realistic and kind of cut down on what you're actually going to be able to do, because, like you said, overwhelming is a good word to use.
I mean, it's so popular here because the individual sections put on the programming.
It's a bunch of little big shows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's almost, you know, the members are driving the programming.
Yep.
And so each section creates their own programming, and, you know, they provide great programming for what their members want.
Yeah, and you brought up 12,000 PTs here, which is kind of like just a crazy number to wrap your head around. The other number Sharon Dunn brought up the other day, which was 97,000 members. Now we're flirting with 100,000.
We're only 2,500 short.
Is that, oh, really?
Yes.
We've moved the needle a couple
so
days.
So there, we're hoping to reach the 100,000 mark by June. And that's the goal, is to go into the next meeting with 100,000 members.
And then Sharon did stress, you know, let's hold that number. Because, we do, you know, of course, you see fluctuations, people
Correct.
Coming in, people coming out. But let's get there and hold it and keep bringing around that V word, which is value. You keep
Right.
showing your members, or I should say, show your members value, they'll stay. But show value to people who aren't members yet, and they'll show up.
Yeah. You know, I'm also the president of the California chapter.
Okay.
And our membership in California has gone through the roof. You know, we're now over 8,000 members.
Yeah,
just in
good
California.
Good for you.
We've always struggled with this whole membership thing. It's like, you know, oh, we got to get more people to join, and
right.
why aren't they not joining? And, you know, my feeling is provide value, and, you know, don't worry about it. They'll come around.
Yeah, Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, if you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
So keep keep doing great stuff, and people will start to poke their head around and go, what are they doing over there at the APTA? I want to be in that. Can I get in that club?
So I think we're doing, whatever we're doing it well.
Keep doing
and
it.
And membership is going crazy.
Yeah. So what do we want to talk about? A lot of topics. That's what CSM really is, just a ton of topics going around. But with you, how do we avoid, you know, the movement system?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we had the movement summit.
Yeah, we
back
heard about
in December.
Super secret. I live
no,
just down the
it
road.
Secret.
Super secret.
We brought in about 100 people from representation from all the states and chapters.
And aspects of PT,
and,
right?
And the sections. And we all got together for 3 days and discussed how we're going to implement, you know, as a first step, how are we going to get the movement system into research, practice,
rubber
and
meets the road. How are we going to get out there?
We're implementation stage.
Sure.
So, you know, we have the vision, we have the framework, and now we got to get it done.
Yeah. So what are some things that you can give us? Because the full report is going to take a little while to come out. I mean, I can't spoil it because I don't know any of it. But what are some things we could say about it? What can we tease people with and say, here's what it's going to be able to do for you as a PT listening to the show?
I think it has to do with our identity. And I think, you know, movement is what brings every physical therapist together. That's our unifying theme across all areas of practice. And I think we have to remember that, you know, we have to really embrace at our core what it is we do and what we're really experts at.
Right.
So it's kind of almost like a rebranding identity. I think what is critical is to really define our unique role in the healthcare system and really show what separates us from everybody else.
Yeah, you used the word rebranding. Now, I mentioned before we started recording, you know, my background's in radio communications. We need to do that because even if the other members of the healthcare world don't know what we do, how are we going to ever expect a patient to do that? So yeah, we need to start from the inside, make sure we know what we do and can say it,
right.
And then we can make that message go outward to everybody else.
Right, right. And I think CSM was the first rolling out, so to speak, of this concept. And, you know, I know the APTA Board of Directors has a set of recommendations that they're going to be considering at their next board meeting that came out of that summit. And so the implementation is going to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, it's going to be a while. I mean, this is I think, going to be a process over many
years. Anything that big.
Maybe a generation, actually.
Sure, anything that big's got to be.
Right. You know, and it's not going to be easy. We've had resistance to it. There's been people that don't understand why we need this and maybe not as tuned in to the movement thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that's we just got to start somewhere.
I'm excited to see what it's going to be able to do. You know, as somebody, I've been a PT for 6 whole months now. Excited to see what this is going to be as I kind of go forward in my career and excited to see what it's going to be able to do letting other people, whether it be healthcare practitioners or the patient population at large, know what we do. That's important because I think we can do so many things if they just they come to it. We have to build it so they can come.
When you get out in practice, you're going to learn very quickly. So you're competing with chiropractors, athletic trainers in many settings, acupuncturists, and you know, there's all these healthcare disciplines that we all overlap. The consumer gets confused.
Can't blame about them with those many with those things.
So if you have low back pain, you got many options. You can see a massage therapist or a chiropractor or go to PT. So why should they come to you as opposed to a chiropractor?
Right.
And what are you doing differently than maybe they are doing?
How can I, as a physical therapist, solve your problem effectively and get you back to doing whatever you want to do faster and more effectively than anybody else?
Yeah, and movement is our unique domain. Yep. And so we use interventions to optimize movement.
Yeah.
That's in our vision statement. That's in
our
the
mantra.
Vision statement.
Yes, it is.
Optimizing movement.
Well, movement is big, especially from the hips down. That's kind of your thing, right? You're the lower extremity kind of guy.
I mean, I am.
I texted a friend of mine, Liz, that I was going to talk to you, and she kind of geeked out just a little bit because her CI this summer was kind of very, very Chris Powers this, Chris Powers that. So finally she texts me and she goes, who's this Chris Powers guy? And I'm like, well, I'll be talking to him in a couple weeks. And she said, oh, that's kind of cool. And moving her needle, because I know her for a while, moving her needle is kind of difficult. So you've been doing lower extremity stuff for a long time.
Well, I mean, I study injuries of the lower
extremity.
And I've learned anything over the last 20 years, it's abnormal movement results in many of these injuries we see. And it just happens that hip control and hip stability and what happens at the hip joint kind of drives a lot of the lower extremity issues. So, you know, the lower extremity, at least at the knee, at least, you know, patellofemoral pain and even ACL injury and other knee conditions are largely linked to hip control, hip stability, and what the gluteal muscles are doing. So, you know, it's taken a different path than over the years, but, you know, right now it is about the hip, in my view.
Yeah. And hips don't lie, as Shakira said. What got you into focusing on the lower extremity? What drew you to that? What your background?
My clinical background is in orthopedic sports medicine, and I just always had an interest in knee injuries as a clinician.
I do, too. I mean, lower extremity guy, just a runner. That's kind of what makes me pay attention to that, personally.
And, you know, when I went back to do my PhD, I did it and studied lower extremity biomechanics, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah. I mean, during your intro, we just kind of put forth, you kind of picked pretty good places to go to school. I mean, you know, New York City with Columbia, and then doing the West Coast warm weather like we're enjoying here in San Antonio. You know, I don't know if I did the right thing, man. I went to undergrad upstate New York, snow belt. So I had the New York weather like you did at Columbia, but none of the cool New York City stuff.
Yeah.
So you picked some good spots.
I'm born and raised in Southern California.
Yeah, so well, you got it figured out.
I went to Santa Barbara.
Got it figured out.
New York was kind of an outlier, so...
Remember that song from the 90s, Baz Luhrmann? He said, live in New York once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in L.A. once, leave before it makes you soft.
Yeah.
So you got to try a little bit of both, yeah. So you can actually see what you like.
I love New York. It was a great
city.
I don't think I could live there permanently, but...
I'm a New Yorker, and I couldn't live there permanently.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born there and grew up kind of upstate, but yeah, it's a great place to visit, but personally, I don't know if I could do... You know, 5-10 years in New York City without being kind of just over hardened. what else should the population know? What else should the audience of physical therapists know that's coming down the line? Maybe not even about the movement system. Where are we going as a profession? Now we've got people bought in. 100K is a big number. What should they get excited about?
Well, I mean, we're coming up on our 100th anniversary. You know that.
That's
right?
A big deal too.
I mean, in I think 3 years, we're going to turn 100 years old as a profession.
Sharon Dunn said that. She said, "Well, big celebration in 2021." In my head, real quick, I was like, "Well, that's a long way away." And then I had to actually remind myself it's 2017.
I hope it's interesting to look ahead and where we're going to be in the next 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think we have to start really not just about our identity, but how we practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big technology fan. And, you know, I hope someday that our RPT clinics are technology driven and objectively driven.
Sure.
And, you know, when you look back at, you know, our basic tools as physical therapists, I mean, we kind of are doing the same things we did 40 years ago.
Sure.
To be honest with you. You know, we're still measuring strength with our hands.
Yeah.
Range of motion. With going on. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that in the future, in the next 100 years, that we really
grow.
Evolve,
yeah. Well, it'll be hard for you not to be involved in technology since you do Moonlight as Doc Brown from Back to the Future, right? Referencing the Oxford debate.
Yep.
And that was an interesting entrance.
Well, I made my plea for technology.
Uh-huh.
And I lost.
Yeah, well.
Surely killed me.
I know.
You know,
Stormtrooper. How do you beat that?
But, you know, go to the exhibit hall. You know, if you went to the exhibit hall, it's all technology.
Oh, robots.
From head to toe.
Yeah.
And what I find most interesting, there is hundreds and hundreds of exhibitors showing all this cool technology and all these gadgets. You go into a basic clinic, none of it exists.
Yeah.
None of it.
Why?
Money.
I mean,
cost.
Price. Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
But if the juice was worth the squeeze, if it solved so many problems, I mean, cost wouldn't matter, right?
Well,
or shouldn't matter.
Well, here's the problem. A lot of the technology has not been shown to be useful yet.
Okay.
Or cost effective.
Sure.
It's cool.
It is cool.
You know, I mean, you can measure things, but...
It's a robot that was just walking by itself.
Yeah,
it's
but,
cool, but...
You know, does it really help patients? So a lot of the technology companies have not really developed really good clinical applications. They have great technology. They don't know how to use it and how it fits in the clinic.
Right.
Clinicians now are strapped for time.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to see more and more patients to make sure you can pay the rent.
And reimbursement is not there to justify capital expenses for expensive equipment. So we're really hamstrung now. Even if we wanted technology, it would be a hard sell.
Right. What do you what about going the other way? Instead of big technology, small, are there any apps that you use?
Because
you can use those so fast.
iPads, apps.
Is there any particular app that you like kind of use at all?
Yeah, I mean, when I teach movement analysis at USC, we use iPads and Huddle Technique.
That app is a great app.
Yeah.
Draw on it. You got the little protractor.
Yeah.
Slowed it down. Multiple
so
speeds.
We use that. I mean, that's about as low tech as you can get.
Yeah. But it's easy to use. It's quick. It's fast. And it does what you need it to do when you need it to do it.
Exactly.
And you can get back to doing what you should be doing, which is looking at and talking to the patient. But I actually use Huddle Technique for swim lessons for kids because it can't have you swim next to a mirror because that just won't work.
Right.
But if I show it to them, a lot of times, you know, getting that biofeedback from, you know, a minute ago when I videotaped you.
Feedback is critical.
Yeah,
and,
big time.
And we don't do a good job of that sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. Know? I think how we talk to a patient and give that feedback is, I think we undervalue or we don't think that it's important enough. I know I'm guilty of that, as I should give clear explanations.
Well, I always argue from the technology side that, you know, most healthcare providers have technology to help them make their diagnosis, you know?
Yeah.
You go to an orthopedic surgeon, you get an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a heart problem, you get EKG. You know, all these sophisticated
technologies testing, everywhere there.
Except for physical therapy.
It's a good point.
So what do we use to make our diagnoses?
Where's our next generation of
so
of
how
hardware?
You make a diagnosis, what are you using? Your hands and your eyes.
Right.
And sometimes that's not very objective.
Sure. No, that's a good point. It's not objective.
And sometimes patients don't buy into that.
Sure.
And we don't have proof of what we do. I think that's a big problem.
Yeah.
And so I hope in the next 100 years, we are fully integrating technology and we're making diagnoses with objective data in the clinic and movement related, and we have objective measures across the board.
And boom, if it's objective and we can do it enough times and we can know that this helps this, we're going to get people right. better faster. We know
but,
we will.
But people think I'm crazy because, well, it's too expensive and you have to see a 3 patients an hour and who has time and, you know, every excuse in the book. And, you know, I think we have to really reevaluate our business model because right now it's you're a new grad.
Correct.
And new grads are having a hard time. They're 2 patients an hour.
Yep.
Sometimes 3.
Yep.
All the paperwork you have to do. You don't get paid for that, do
nope.
you? It's all on your own time. You know, how many patients you see a day?
Well, I'm in pediatrics, so I'm seeing one an hour. That's the outlier.
Okay, that's different.
But I've got 2 roommates who are PTs, and they're doing, you know, 30 to 45 minutes a patient. You know, I mean, so I've got one classmate. I won't say who or where, but he saw 30 to 35 patients a day.
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
I can name every patient I have on my schedule at the end of the day. There's not a chance in the world he can name half of those people.
Right.
They just can't.
So, in that case, there's no way to do. You're just you're just doing enough to keep your head above
shoveling
water.
Shoveling against the tide.
Exactly.
You can't do it.
So, we're stuck, you know. Yeah. And so, we have to really. My concern is that the quality of care is going to drop in that.
And then what? And then we start to. Our image as a field goes down because
absolutely.
The quality. Because we're not producing as physical therapists. And then, of course, no one's going to. Why would you buy in on something?
And then who's going to pay for it?
Right.
And then vicious cycle.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Yeah. So, that's my fear. But.
Okay.
Hopefully we can figure out a way, but we got to fix this payment issue.
Yep.
And, you know, we got to get back to being who we are.
We got to go pay some student loans. We'll be right back.
Introducing EcoPro pillow covers, good for the environment and your clinic's bottom line. EcoPro pillow covers are the clinic pillowcase replacement designed to be wiped clean just like your treatment tables. Each EcoPro pillow cover saves you 2,600 gallons of water per year, time spent laundering pillowcases, and the money involved with clinic laundry with no special cleaner required. A special deal for Pintcast listeners, when you order online at EcoProPillows.com, you'll get free shipping on any size order with the promo code Pintcast. EcoPro pillow covers, created by PTs for PTs. Considering a travel assignment over the holidays or ready to escape the cold weather for some winter sunshine? Arias Medical Group is the leading healthcare staffing agency offering travel and full-time career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Call Arias at 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com.
Let's give a nice warm welcome to.
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now.
3 questions. I want to put you on the hot seat for 3 questions.
Okay.
You've done New York and California as places to live, being a Southern California guy. But if you had to pick some other place you haven't lived yet to be a PT for a month, where would you want to go and hang out?
Oh, my goodness. Probably Colorado, Boulder.
Yeah.
You know what? I like to ski. I like the mountain bike. I think I would. It's an all-season place.
Yeah.
No surfing there, though.
Yeah.
But
it's nice in the summer and the winter.
I could hang in there for a month.
Yeah. I'm laughing. I'm giggling a little bit when you said that because Colorado and Hawaii are the two. Now, I ask these same 3 questions every guest. Colorado and Hawaii are by far the places that come up the most.
Oh, interesting.
So I got to start going out there. Second question. What's something that you're either reading now or read recently that really inspired you?
Ah, boy, that really inspired me. You know what? I don't read much.
Yeah.
All my reading is research.
Okay.
I hate to admit, I do no recreational reading.
Okay. All right. Well, what's good in research? What's coming down the line? What areas of research are you paying attention to?
I'm really interested right now in the motor control aspects.
That was a big buzzword at the CSM. I heard that a lot.
Of movement.
Yeah.
And so I've been really kind of refocusing my research program to focus in on the neural control of a lot of the movements that we see. So I've been doing a lot of reading in areas of brain function. And
right, but why are you doing that? You're an orthopedics guy. Well, because those 2 things have to go in hand in hand, or
they
else
do.
You know, the patients have a brain and muscles.
Well, it took us a while to figure that out, but that's the way it is. But from a scientific standpoint, I've been the last 3 years getting caught up to speed on on all the neural imaging techniques and methods that we use to quantify what we see.
Yeah.
So we watch someone run and they got poor mechanics, but they're strong. We think it's a motor control problem, and obviously you got to think about what the brain's doing.
Right.
In that respect.
Absolutely. So. Every patient you're going to see is going to have a brain. Got to bring that in. Got to bring that into the fold. Third question: who's somebody in the field of physical therapy that the audience should pay more attention to? Maybe somebody who's out there doing some great work but is flying under the radar.
Oh boy. We have a whole new generation of young PhD researchers in the field.
Yeah.
they're extremely bright, and we have a great, you know, across the nation of, you know, just people your age that have gone back and done a PhD and are just starting on their research careers, and they're doing amazing things. And
it's exciting to see where that's going to go.
Yeah.
Where that's going to push the field into the next 100 years.
We need that. We need that desperately. Yeah. And without it, we're sunk.
Okay.
So, you know, I hope that we got to keep the next generation involved in the
engaged
research.
Keep them around. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Terribly important, because if we're not putting out good research, and we're going to be at the next convention in Boston, and I'll be hosting the Foundation Gala, that foundation is important. That's where the money goes to fund a lot of the research projects in this field. If they're not engaged, who's going to do the research?
Right.
All right, you're off the hot seat for three questions.
Okay.
if you were to give somebody an impassioned pitch of why they should come, because they haven't been to a CSM or a NEXT or a National Student Conclave, they haven't done a national APTA event, why should they?
Well, obviously, the educational opportunities are
a lot.
Or, I mean, everyone in the profession is here. So all the big names are here. You can listen to anyone you ever thought about.
Yeah.
You get the cutting edge information and research. The networking opportunities are great. I had nonstop meetings for 3 days.
Ugh.
You know, students, prospective students, you know, you name it.
It's rough.
But you know what? It's an opportunity for people to interact and network.
Sure.
And people really take advantage of that here. I mean, it's a huge networking opportunity.
We coined a term this weekend. It's called bumpability. So last year at CSM, it was pretty much two hotels across from each other. It was high bumpability, because you pretty much were just walking between the two hotels in the conference center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here it's a little more spread out. So the bumpability went down, but the number of PTs went up. So I think the average bumpability stayed about the same. So I'll figure out how to calculate bumpability eventually. We'll put that out. All right. So Chris, every episode that we do is a pint. And before we're done with the pint, we do shots.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum, Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at OptumFellowship.com.
They're going to leave the audience with one thing to kind of hold on to. What's one little nugget of wisdom you want to leave the profession of physical therapy with?
I'm going to go back to the whole movement system thing.
Okay.
And I really think that it's time now to really, you know, in your practice and how you communicate with patients and the consumers, that you really emphasize your role in that as a healthcare provider.
Yeah.
And you optimize movement to improve the human experience.
Yeah.
And that's our vision. And, you know, I think we have to embrace it and we have to live it. And, you know, it has to start now.
Yeah, I like that. And we can roll that back up with, that's why you should become a member of the APTA. So we're all on the boat together. Let's all row and go in the same direction.
We only need 2,500 more.
That's it. That's it. Let's get there. Chris Powers, appreciate you taking some time here at the busy CSM in San Antonio and dropping some knowledge on us. So thank you.
You owe me a beer, by the way.
I do owe you a beer. We will get a beer. You name it, where and when, and we'll do it. You going to Next?
I will be there.
We'll be at Next. We'll definitely have a beer at Next.
All right.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they?
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast's CEO, Jimmy McKay,
with executive producer Rachel German from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
And CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
Podcasting. It's a great way to reach a huge audience. We're portable, free to download, and can be heard across the planet. Here on the PT Pintcast, we can paint a picture for your company to help spread your message to physical therapists across the world. With our show, we can put pictures into people's minds. Here, let me show you what I mean. Like if I push this button right here, I can take you back to the Jurassic era when T-Rex roamed the earth. And when I click on this,
I'm behind the wheel of a race car, driving fast and turning left. Shake it big, boys!
We paint pictures with sound and can paint a picture of your company on our show that'll leave an impression. To have us paint for you and spread your message to PTs across the world, contact us online at ptpinecast.com. Let's see what this button does.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.